Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Hey, Joe Kent, Benedict Arnold was a war hero too. Hurt not the oil? Using oil to foil our greatest enemy? Trump's strategy to starve out the dragon? Is this all about isolating China and weakening China? Understand the America First doctrine and the relationship between the USA and Israel. There are two types of leaders, folks, placators and problem solvers. Thank God we've got a problem solver. Boots on the ground. The expression refers to the deployment of American soldiers into a field of battle. You know, to do what they've trained for. I'm just saying, that's the mindset of the American soldier who's in the Army. I've talked to these guys, I know. I didn't go off to battle. I got to stay at the base there at Fort Ord and run errands and play around with the base newspaper, stuff like that. But I can tell you, that's the mindset of the American soldier, readiness to engage the enemy on his land so that we don't have to engage them on ours. Iraniac update. And remember, the IAC, Iraniac, that talks about somebody that's obsessive and driven by some kind of an ideological narrative or some insanity. Whereas Iranian, that refers to the people, because the IAN suffix suggests that. Anyway, numerous reports are surfacing informing us that members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps are fleeing into Afghanistan, Turkey, Pakistan, where else? A few other places, and even into the West. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Most of you have heard about Joe Kent. He was a guy working in the Trump administration in Gabbard's DNI office, I understand. And he resigned because in good conscience, he just couldn't support this war. What a bunch of nonsense. And everybody's afraid to touch him. He was a leaker, by the way. The guy was leaking. You gotta be kidding me. That's like, in a time of war? That's total treason. But anyway. Oh, Joe Kent. He's a war hero, so nobody can touch him. Hey, you can't question him. He's a war hero. Let me tell you something. Benedict Arnold was a war hero, too. Yeah, old Benedict. Remember him? The traitor was one of the most capable and aggressive officers in the early years of the American Revolutionary War. His record up to 1780 shows repeated bravery, initiative, battlefield success, savvy. The guy was good at his job, often at great personal cost. By the way, he was wounded twice, and his service was rewarded with promotion to Major General in George Washington's army. However, he got entangled toward the end there in various financial disputes. He drew some accusations of corruption, married a British sympathizer, which raised eyebrows, faced charges that provoked Washington to reprimand him, and this downward spiral ended in his being exposed as having earlier become a traitor joining the British side. Joe, are you taking notes? Neither Benedict nor you can hide treason behind an otherwise honorable service record. Using oil to foil our greatest enemy, Trump's strategy to starve out the dragon, referring to China. You know, the Venezuela thing, the Iran thing, the Cuba thing, all of these things have the greatest impact upon our greatest enemy, our greatest threat, which is China. What is the strategy of Hormuz? I understand it's Hormuz, but anyway, who cares? The notion that Trump's team was caught off guard when Iran moved to close the strait is absurd. You know, I mean, consider all the evidence of short-sightedness that we've seen from this president. I mean, almost as much as we had of Biden's addled brain. This is is nonsense. You've never seen anything like that. The number of times, you know, that Trump has been caught off guard, it's just stunning. Or what's more amazing is the number of times his enemies thought they had him, only to watch him kind of grin and or sometimes grimace at the inanity of it all, and then just at the right time walk right out of their snare as if, yeah, it was Houdini shaking off some handcuffs. It would certainly be the most remarkable thing any of us has seen if, in fact, the Trump team was caught off guard by something so obvious to everybody, including moi. I mean, this is something that even Biden could have noticed if he'd paid attention. Well, his clarity moments, you know. I mean, you do understand that for Trump to have been unaware of that eventuality and to have failed to plan for it is just flat impossible to believe on its face. But that no one in his entire administration, particularly those military personnel involved in planning this thing, would have thought, you know, those Iraniacs, well, they might close the strait. I mean, give me a break. This is, it just shows how much TDS is at work in the minds of so many, and it's creeping into the minds of some. Oh, very minor portion of, in fact, 100% of MAGA is still formed, so this stuff percolating out there is not coming from real MAGA. But anyway, the notion that Trump's move to pull NATO into the defense of the strait means we are too weak to handle it alone is likewise absurd. I mean, everything I've seen in this administration tells me he is a careful cost counter. He doesn't engage in anything, much less war, without a thorough accounting of the cost. You understand that some things you can know from nothing more than what you know from what you've watched him do. Let's just go ahead and include, well, in terms of deals and business and whatever, his whole life. The notion that Trump has promised no boots on the ground is false. I'm going to speak to that boots on the ground thing in the next segment. Now, let's look at Trump's oil strategy. The Bible speaks to the dominant role that oil will have in the economy of the world at the time of the end, or leading into the time of the end during the last days. Bessent revealed the advanced planning that went on for the possibility that Iran would deploy their favorite hostage weapon, the ability to control passage through the Hormuz Strait. And I've got some, F-15 activity out there, I think. Might be an F-35, but in any event, I hope it's not interrupting our time to go, because I got to keep this going. I'm on a time limit here. But anyway, so the administration knew there were millions of barrels of sanctioned oil held offshore as a sort of floating reserve. These could be released. We knew, he said, choking off the, that's Bessent. Wow, it's loud today. Well, I wonder if Iran's planning to attack off the West Coast here. I don't know. But anyway, the administration knew that we had a floating reserve out there that we could release. We also knew that choking off the strait would minimally impact the United States. Some impact, but only minimally. But it would significantly impact NATO and would critically impact China. And the United States would use these floating reserves by releasing them for delivery, easing back on sanctions. And I mean, we had a plan, okay? Another strategy put in place to address the closure of the strait included a plan to release some of our own reserves, encouraging NATO to do the same. So not only the floating reserves, but we also thought we could release some of our own reserves and encourage NATO to do the same, since it does impact them, actually more than it would impact us. And also use it to draw the allies to step up and defend themselves and defend their own interests. This idea of riding on us, it's over. That era is gone, folks. That ship has sailed. I think Trump anticipated that NATO, when called upon, would balk, allowing the United States then to use the Ukraine card and just say, okay, well, you get Ukraine, we'll take care of the strait. And openly shame and embarrass NATO members until they cried, Uncle Sam, and step up to do what's right to be done, or else be left holding the bag on Ukraine. And then finally, along the way, coming back begging for the United States to help with hat in hand. I see these events moving us toward the dismantling of NATO, the unraveling of the United Nations, preparing the way for the rise of the Ten King Federation of Western Powers that is prophesied by Daniel in Daniel chapter 7. I see these movements as shaping history toward the fulfillment of some very significant prophecies, with the pieces coming together for the appearing of the man of sin, the beast, the Assyrian, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. And no, it's not Trump. He's not Assyrian. More on that probably Sunday night in my pulpit. Understand the America First doctrine and the relationship between the USA and Israel. Some jump to the confusion anytime there is a ripple in the relationship between Jump and BB June that, the alliance is unraveling. Silly. Lately, Israel has engaged in an independent action attacking Iran's South Pars oil field. I've got a map in my notes to help you identify where that's at if you're interested. Trump expressed dissatisfaction with Israel's actions and spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu. By the way, his name means son of the right hand, which indicates strength. That's Benjamin. And Netanyahu means given by God. Israel promised not to go after what Trump considers civilian targets or that he wants set aside in order that Iran, when they do emerge to take their country back, will have something there to work with. The difference between the United States or Trump approach to Iran and the Israeli or Netanyahu approach to Iran is actually very, very close and with a very simple distinction. Trump wants to preserve as much of the economic infrastructure of Iran as possible so that the Iranian people will have something to work with when they recover their country from the barbarians. BB June, understood, by the way, BB June, that's a term of endearment or a sarcastic expression meant to put a jibe in the mind of those regime Iraniacs from the Iranians, but also to send a message, hey, Israel, we love you. We love you, BB June, way to go. Okay, anyway, because it means Benjamin, we love you, or Benjamin love, Benjamin whatever. It's a term of endearment. And what I'm getting at is that BB June understands the barbarian nature of the current regime and believes nothing will break them short of total annihilation. Either we tear down their world and kill each and every one of the radical jihadis, or they tear down the entire world and die while doing it. I'm going to have to take my break right here a little earlier than I planned. The interruption has gotten in my way, but God bless you. Hold on. When we get back, we'll talk about the Iraniac threat that we'll explore a little more deeply, and then we'll get into boots on the ground. I think you'll find it interesting. Hold on, I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net. and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program. God bless you, my friends. Thank you very much.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The difference between Trump June and Bibi June, remember June is a suffix added to a term or a name that is intended to make it into a term of endearment like Trump love or Trump dear or and so on. So Trump June and Bibi June, the difference between them is Trump hopes, he has hope, that he can achieve his objectives without utterly destroying the economic infrastructure of Iran. Bibi, on the other hand, believes he knows who these people are. They are Iraniacs, madmen that cannot be broken in battle, but must be physically wiped out and driven out of the land. So they have a much more aggressive approach. The Iraniac Operational Command vowed the complete destruction of Gulf energy infrastructure in Israel. if Israel launches another attack like the one lately in which they went solo and attacked the oil fields of South Pars. You can see this map kind of help you understand what's going on here with this. When dealing with the Iraniacs, it's a choice between the destruction of their world or ours. The Iraniacs will Thanos, if you understand the reference, the entire world, if they are allowed to have the power they seek. Islam is a bizarre hybrid of political nihilism with self-righteous religious zeal. Totalitarian fanaticism is what you might call it, demanding an absolute conformity. They see dissent as treachery. If a woman doesn't wear the hijab, they want to kill her. It's like it's nuts. They subordinate everyone to the service of the tyrant, whose service is connected inextricably to the cause. For example, the Iraniac president, Masoud Pezeshkian, warned that further attacks by Israel on the oil infrastructure of Iran could lead to, quote, uncontrollable consequences, end quote, that could, quote, engulf the entire world, end quote. They always talk like that. And our experience with these Iraniacs is that a warning of this kind almost always should be understood as a threat. Occasionally, tensions rise between Trump and Bibi June. Trump's approach is hopeful. Benjamin is cynical. I vote for Trump's approach. I fear, however, that in the end, Benjamin's will prove to be the only path to completing this mission. My heart votes for Trump's plan, but my mind tells me it's very likely to go in the Benjamin direction. Let's pray that hope prevails. Two types of leaders, my friend, placators and problem solvers. The placator feeds the beast that's eyeing him for lunch in hopes it will be content with a full stomach to leave him alone and let him live. The placator is someone who is committed to immediate safety, who leaves the tab for future generations to pick up. The placator surrenders public freedom and liberty for their own immediate safety and prosperity. They don't act in the interest of their country. They act in the interest of themselves. The worst thing about the placator is that he is typically amoral. His North Star is his own personal comfort and prosperity. The placator pursues self-interest without the restraints of a conscience that's informed by the true and living God. He is a fool who makes a deal with the devil and ignores the universal truth. Nothing's free. It will be payday someday. But these people don't care so long as payday is not during their time, their day. Cotter's energy boss is one of these placators. Asked about the war, he cautions all of us. Quote, I warned the U.S. Energy Secretary and executives, end quote, of the, quote, danger, end quote, of provoking Iran. He warned us this would happen. He looks at the war and says, I really can't say I approve of this. Of course not, he's a placator. This presents another common characteristic of the appeaser, the placator. He insults the intelligence of the man who wants to solve the problem, right? Like we didn't know Iran would act irrationally and do dumb and hurtful stuff. No, didn't see that coming. But what guys like Saad bin Sharida al-Ka'abi, or Ka'abi, what they refuse to face is that those willing to live in fear of the tyrant are what make the tyrant. Feed the tyrant. Encourage the tyrant. And so they are responsible for all the evil that the tyrant inflicts upon others. Now, that's a price he's willing to pay. These people are always ready to let the bully collect from you, so long as the bully doesn't collect from him. Or is he something worse? Is this Saad dude ideologically in alignment with the Iraniac regime? If so, he is an enemy of peace, the enemy of the Iranian people, a supporter of tyranny and tyrants and oppression. a tyrannical oppressor in his own right, at his own level. The problem solver addresses the actual problem, stays focused on that. He is sensitive and responsive to moral restraints, the sort that align with the Ten Commandments, expressed in the context of the Beatitudes, where leadership obeys the divine maxim of rulers. The God of Israel said, "The Rock of Israel spake to me, said David, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Okay, let's get into the question about whether Trump promised us there would be no boots on the ground. The expression refers to the deployment of soldiers, American soldiers, into a field of battle on a foreign field, foreign land. You know, to do what they've been training for. And I'm just saying, that's the mindset of the typical American soldier. Readiness to engage the enemy on his land so that we do not have to engage them on ours. Now, you've heard me say, I don't want boots on the ground in Iran. If you've listened, you've also heard me say that I really don't see how this is going to be avoided. Deploying the Marines is clearly a boots-on-the-ground action. Now, the difference between a Marine Expeditionary Force and an Army infantry deployment is mostly scale and objective. But another difference is that the Marines are specifically trained for amphibious assaults, sea to land, or coastal operations. The Army is not. Also, their mission, that is the Marines' mission, is typically more defined with a focus on a limited objective. They will execute a mission to take out a specific threat, for example, or to initially secure an area like a beachhead or something like that, whereas the Army infantry would be deployed to hold a region or an entire country sometimes, a large area, for an extended period. So essentially, Marines are called in to address and neutralize an immediate and focused threat, a specific threat. The Army infantry is mobilized when there is a need to address a larger general threat, where there is a need for a sustained invasion force to take and hold large areas of an enemy's land for an extended period. Many people seem to think Trump has promised no boots on the ground, but Trump has never promised no boots on the ground. Well, he did make that promise as part of a negotiated peace deal between Russia and Ukraine, but that's a specific arrangement that he offered for that particular deal. It is not, it has never been, a general statement of his war policy. Now here, from the California Post, which is the New York Post, especially for California, Trump, quote, "Trump won't rule out sending U.S. troops into Iran if necessary." In this article, he is quoted as saying, "Every president says there will be no boots on the ground. I don't say it." He went on to say, "I say probably don't need them or if they were necessary." Now here's a Stars and Stripes headline, quote, "Trump says U.S. not afraid of boots on the ground as it runs Venezuela during transition," end quote. Now, Islamist jihadis are the only people I know who actually purpose the deaths of their own people and soldiers as a war strategy. Now, actually, the Japanese had a war strategy that involved commanding troops to commit kamikaze attacks. But we have many stories of brave U.S. soldiers who have willingly sacrificed themselves to protect their fellow troops or to advance a mission. But I don't know of any military strategy that involves sending troops into a battle to die. But that is the way we get it done. Patton clarified that. No one ever won a war by dying for their country. Soldiers win wars by making the other guy die for his. The American mentality is different here. Some military missions may be rightly called suicide missions, but they're never ordered to take them. They're never imposed on soldiers. And also, these soldiers don't actually go into these missions planning to die. They might have a heightened expectation that they might, but it's different. It's a different mentality. We value life. Thinking of the kamikaze system in World War II Japan, did you catch the exchange that occurred during a Japanese delegation meeting between Trump and Japan's Prime Minister, Sene Takaichi, and some Japanese reporters? One of the Japanese reporters asked a really tough question. He was looking for a job at CNN, I think, or maybe CBS. He asked President Trump, why did he not tell U.S. allies, like Japan, about his plans to attack Iran? Well, Trump grinned. He said softly, well, you can't tell people in advance. You rely on surprise. He said, you, of all people, appreciate surprise, right? He did this very nicely, I thought, and soft, but it was pointed. He asked in his own inimitable style, we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Why didn't you guys tell me about Pearl Harbor? He laughed. And said, this guy, you know, anyway, that exchange was quite interesting. And people were trying to make a big deal out of it. I thought the prime minister did look quite uncomfortable. She should be uncomfortable with that reporter. Of course, Trump haters piled on about the awkward Pearl Harbor joke. I love Trump. I love it that he's not a typical effete, all velvet, no steel, impressed by his own niceties, amused by pretentious tact. I like it when he's American. And like two gladiators, you know, reminiscing about an old battle, just grins and says, yeah, remember that one? Got you there, didn't I? And the other guy says, yeah, you got me on that one, but I'll get you this kind of thing, you know? It points up one of the problems we have with diplomacy these days. It works so hard at avoiding hurting someone's feelings, it never gets around to an honest exchange or an effective deal. The guy was out of line. That question in that context would have been better asked by the prime minister and preferably in private. If you try a gotcha with Trump, expect to get got. Anyway, I prefer a straight shooting cowboy to an exquisite effete. We are getting numerous reports informing us that members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps are fleeing into Afghanistan, some to Pakistan, others to Turkey, and some are even coming into Western countries. And this is exactly what I've been praying for, and I'll encourage you to pray for the same, that the Islamic Guard would begin to think whether death to America is really a life goal, you know, a policy worth dying for. So I'm praying there, Margaret, on a bended knee and in the name of Jesus Christ. Their own natural conscience, I pray, will encourage them to reflect on this whole mess and instruct them that the life God gave them is about more than slogans like death to America or death to Israel, or advancing a cult that wants to control everybody's mind, life, and soul. But tyrants, you know, they're typical. If their own personal safety is threatened, well, they tend to start beating up and killing those appointed to protect them. They turn on their own. And I heard that many of these fleeing are escaping the rage of the tyrannical abuse against them from their own leadership. Let's pray on bended knee in the name of Jesus Christ for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps to collapse, for the Iranian army to side with the people, and for the people to rise up and take their country from these religious fanatical bullies. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me from our website, praymassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.